I think we can directly move to the industry perspective and then have discussion after that talk. And the first is Rob Kivel from CVRX.
Thank you, Professor DeFerrari and Dr. Pina, and thank you to the course organizers for inviting me to participate. I am, by way of disclosure, the founder and a current employee of CVRX in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Just a very brief snapshot of what our company does. We have developed an active implantable medical device that electrically activates baroreceptors and the baroreflex. This is intended to send signals to the brain that lead to reflex withdrawal of sympathetic nervous system activity and augmentation of parasympathetic nervous system activity, and to produce effects at key target organs, including the heart, the vasculature, and the kidneys, that relieve excessive blood pressure, relieve the workload of the heart, and reduce the tendency to develop cardiac arrhythmias. And we are using this technology currently in the treatment of hypertension and also heart failure. Active implantable devices offer certain advantages, including the ability to personalize therapies for patients by virtue of non-invasive programmability, and also, at least potentially in large part, to reverse the therapy when medically indicated by taking advantage of the device's on-off functionality. Now, there is a natural tendency to try to take advantage of this on-off functionality to conduct the type of sham-controlled clinical trial that Dr. Abraham was talking about, and there's certainly a lot of merit in that. Depending on the type of device and how it's inserted and how it functions, that device in its switched off state may or may not serve as an appropriate sham control, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And secondly, because there is a potential significant placebo effect associated with the device implantation procedure, there may be a tendency to want to neutralize the placebo effect by collecting baseline patient information after the device is implanted but prior to randomization. And we've conducted clinical trials using both of these features and have found that both approaches can be associated with problems. In an evaluation of safety and effectiveness and a determination of risk-benefit for a device, clearly we should look at the totality of the safety and the totality of the effectiveness. With regard to the safety, it's pretty straightforward that all components of safety associated with a device need to be evaluated. And those include the device placement procedure, because the placement can alter patient anatomy, can be associated with procedural morbidity. The physical presence of the device in the body can have safety concerns or safety implications, could lead to anatomic remodeling or affect organ or tissue function. And of course, the application of active therapy to produce the desired functional effects can have unintended functional consequences and other untoward patient reactions. When considering the effectiveness side of the equation, there may be a natural tendency to focus specifically and maybe solely on the active component effect of effectiveness. And if we do that, we may be missing clinically relevant contributors to effectiveness of the device placement or the device presence. And for example, in our technology where the device is placed on the carotid sinus, it's certainly possible that exposure of the carotid artery and the physical presence of an electrode at the carotid sinus may have an effect on baroreceptor activation that affects overall device effectiveness. And if we just focus in on the difference between on and off of the device, we may miss some of that contribution. So one might consider that both in an evaluation of safety as well as effectiveness, we really should be looking at the effects contributed by all components, the device placement, the device presence, and the application of active therapy. When devices are placed in patients, there are a number of effects that can affect physiology in the perioperative period. Some of these are listed here. There's often sedation or general anesthesia involved. An inflammatory response or wound healing response is initiated. There may be a degree of post-procedural patient discomfort. The patient may be prescribed certain pain-relieving or other medications in the perioperative period. Over time, there's maturation of the device-tissue interface. There may be other short or long-lived physiological changes and also behavioral changes by patients, namely, at least temporarily, increasing their compliance to prescribed lifestyle modifications and medical therapy. The problem is that it's impossible to predict the extent of these changes in an individual patient or how long they're going to persist after the implant procedure. And therefore, trying to collect baseline information after the device implant procedure could potentially include confounding influences. So we've identified at least two ways that we believe studies with devices that are implanted but turned off, at least in our situation, could confound clinical trials. The first, again, is trying to use a post-implant baseline for comparison during patient follow-up. It may be possible that the only true baseline can be taken before device implant. And again, the consideration that in all cases, patients who have a device implanted but turned off serve as appropriate sham controls. In this situation, you're comparing, patients in the active treatment group who are experiencing all three effects, the implant procedure, the device placement, as well as the active therapy, to patients in the control group who are also experiencing two out of three of those effects. And in that comparison, we may not be getting a complete picture of both safety and effectiveness of a device. And finally, we're seeing increased application of active implantable medical devices to treat chronic disease conditions such as hypertension with medical devices. And these are diseases which are historically been treated primarily with medical therapies. And we'd like to be able to compare the results achieved with the devices against the results achieved with the drug therapies. And obviously, it's very difficult to take baseline patient information in a drug trial after drug therapy has been initiated. And so it becomes difficult to compare pharmaceutical trials with a pre-treatment baseline against medical device trials in which a baseline data point is taken after device implant but before application of active therapy. Some possibilities as alternatives, and we've talked about some of these already today, would be employing patients in a control group who don't have devices that are implanted, and in order to help reduce bias associated with that, to select the most objective measures available to use as primary endpoints, and to have that primary endpoint data collected by evaluators who are unaware of the treatment assignment of the patient. And if device on versus off trial designs are utilized, it may be advantageous to select a pre-implant baseline for the further comparison. With that, I'll thank you for your attention.